Non-01 formed in 2009. They're a company of six who make participatory site-specific theatre which uses audio technology to take each spectator on a personal journey through the performance. Non-01 helped say goodbye to the Bush Theatre in September with "This is where we got to when you came in." They'll be showing The Time Out at the International Festival Caravan in Brighton in May, and are currently in the very early stages of developing a new performance for the National Theatre's Inside Out Festival this summer. My name's Ella Parry-Davies, and I'm with Alex Turner, Kat Harrison and Fran Miller, who are all founding members of the company. Alex, Kat and Fran, welcome to Theatre Voice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you met Theatre Voice in 2010, and since then Non-01 have gone from strength to strength. You've been awarded the Off West End Award for Best Entertainment earlier this month. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And how did that go down?
Well, it was one of the most surreal moments of my life. How about you guys?
Yeah, completely. We were up against quite strong competition. We thought we didn't actually think we had a chance. But so when they read out, "This is where we got to when you came in," we sort of all just looked at each other like, what?
We were completely
shocked. Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
It was such, really such a surprise to win. And also such a surprise to be nominated as well. I hadn't even thought that we would be nominated for an award, let alone Best Entertainment, which was quite a surprise.
Mm. And how did it feel to be nominated for Best Entertainment? Is entertainment a very important part of your work?
It's not the first thing we go into when, there's lots of connotations with entertainment, and it's not something we fight against particularly, but when we make our work, we always think of our audience first, which is why I guess it kind of maybe comes in within that category. I think Best Entertainment was kind of the miscellaneous other of the Offie Awards, because our work doesn't really fit in as a play, or it doesn't have actors or actresses as such, and so I guess that's why it kind of fit into that category more than any other category, really.
I think also with entertainment, when we start creating a piece, we always want to create something that we would want to take part in. What would we actually enjoy doing? And so I think, you know, it's always quite fun as well, because we have one of us is a comedian, Ivan, who's in the group. He's a comedian as well, so he always brings like a funny side, and I think we all put humour into it, and the writer we work with on that piece as well, Eleanor Cook, she also was, you know, hilarious, and we had fun making it, and we wanted to create something that was fun that we'd want to do as well, so I think entertainment was sort of, we don't go in trying to make something like that, but I think who we are sort of happens.
Yeah, our work is playful and surprising. I think those are strong characteristics of all of our work, and we try to bring that in everything we do. And I think maybe one of the reasons that we were nominated for Best Entertainment was because people went into the piece not really knowing what they were expecting. They knew that we were devising a piece that had to say goodbye to the Bush Theatre and celebrate 40 years of such diverse anarchic history. And when they walked through the building, and they were met with surprises such as being led into the toilet cubicles and sitting down on the toilet seat and being asked to think about what they would leave in the building, if they could leave a message on these walls, or what has the building seen. And for the lights to come on in the toilet and illuminate lots of writing all over the walls is completely surprising and I guess entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely. The award was given specifically for your piece, "This Is Where We Got To When You Came In," which was, as Alex was saying, commissioned by the Bush Theatre as a farewell to the building that they'd called home for over four decades. So audience members were guided around a series of installations, exploring the nooks and crannies of the theatre, and they were given a very unique insight into what this space meant to the actors, technicians, playwrights and countless others who trod its boards, hurried through its corridors and squeezed into its very cramped offices. Maybe we should start by listening to a snippet of what the audience would have heard through their headphones.
"And now, in 25 seconds' time, the cue light will go green and you must head on stage. I'm afraid there's no prompting today. Have you got your first line on the tip of your tongue? Your audience is waiting. So please close the doors to the technological cubbyhole by unhooking them from the walls and letting them swing shut. Once you've done that, look back up at the light. You wouldn't want to miss your cue. Right, well, it looks like it's you. Push the door open and follow the arrows. Round the corner and onto the stage. You have arrived."
let's just go back to that idea of fun. It must have been very sad to say goodbye to a building with such a rich history. How did you bring an element of humour to that? Did you go through quite an emotional process?
I think, well, partly with the title, this is where we got to when you came in, is we knew that our brief was to create this farewell to the bush and try to do some kind of justice to the incredible amount of effort and emotion and people that came and made that building what it was. And in some ways, we were kind of quite, we knew that we'd never be able to meet everyone who'd ever been in that building and everyone who'd ever had their stamp on that building. But we, the people that we did meet, it, for a lot of those people, like even surprising people like Alan Rickman and Robert Holman and some of the like the real names that we met as well, all talked about the bush as this incredible time of their lives, of happiness and doing what they wanted. And I don't think it would have done justice to the bush to create a piece that was really sad the whole way through. I mean, there were moments of poignancy and things in it, but I think something that came out from our interviews with people was just what an incredibly joyous time they had there, and that, okay, the building and the actual surroundings were quite shonky, but they were in themselves, like, it was a time of real creative freedom they were allowed there, which seemed really fun and exciting for them.
So you conducted interviews with people that who'd worked at the bush, and those interviews fed into the audio track that the audience were listening to as well, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that is right, yes. We used their voices, and as the audience went around, they could hear the people that worked in the building. It's like we wanted to create a sort of like if the walls could talk, whose voices you could hear. And I think going back to your bit then about how about it being funny, I think, like, again, through the interviews, we heard some hilarious stories. Like, people went to the bush, like, they always started going, we weren't paid well. We weren't paid there. Well, we went there for a love of theatre. There was a cottage outside. We were in the middle of Shepherd's Bush. We were above a pub. And so the stories that came out for that were hilarious, like the dog being taken up and down the stairs during a performance because they didn't get on with the landlord, or, you know, the cottage out on the green. There were some hilarious stories, and that completely helped fill this sort of the space with, you know, the laughter and stuff. But again, the poignancy, as Kat was speaking about, you know, everyone's got the history there and everyone sort of felt a real connection. So it was really enjoyable having those interviews. That was a real highlight for creating the project, I thought.
We hope that our piece is really honest as well. We didn't want to go in and be really reverential about this building and look back and reflect on it in a way that was slightly angelic. We wanted to represent and portray what this building really was, which is why we spoke to these people and they came into us, they featured in our show.
Also, it had to come from other people. We hadn't been there. Like, we weren't even born when the bush was started. Like, how do we know, like, what had gone on there? I'd worked there for, when did we got that job? 5 months or something in the offices there. I'd experienced a tiny section of it, you know, and so we had to speak to these people to really bring it to life, to really make the most of it.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the space and how you approach the space. Obviously, as you were saying, the space at the bush is filled with voices and with stories and with people leaving their mark. But the work that you're producing at the moment, that you're currently devising, I imagine, at the moment, for the National Theatre's Inside Out Festival, which takes place this summer, 2012. What spaces are you working with there? Do you know yet?
So we don't know. Well, we do and we don't know. We know that we're going to be, the whole point of the Inside Out Festival is to bring life to a lot of the public spaces within the National Theatre. So the terraces outside, the public foyers and spaces inside, as opposed to, like, I guess the private areas of like the main stages, like the Littleton and the Cottesloe and the Olivier. So we won't be on the main stages, but we're going to be taking people sort of around the public spaces as well. And even though they are public spaces, there are areas that people don't seem to use that much. So we're kind of trying to bring life to those areas.
I think they wanted sort of to have theatre or art on the terraces to encourage those audience members that just sort of pass along the South Bank, that don't necessarily come into the National, to actually see what what the National is about, what it sort of creates, what it does, and that's why we, Nonzo One, and also Made in China Commission, because we are affiliates of the National Theatre Studio, and so they wanted to show everything that the National is about. So they asked these two companies to create work to show what the studio does and to sort of bring more people into the National Theatre.
It's a really exciting and open commission for us, because they've approached us to produce a piece with the brief that it's about opening the National, turning it inside out, and producing work outside the space and around the spaces outside the building that they might produce inside. And it's a very open brief for us to think about what we want to do. So it's very much going into a room and us throwing ideas around what interests us from the spaces and what ideas we have and what things that we're interested in right now as a company to produce a piece that we want.
And I think, I was going to say, it kind of, in a way, it's a bit full circle with the last time we were speaking to Theatre Voice when we were at the Barbican, because those big institutions like the Barbican and the National Theatre, they're not just kind of theatres, but they're kind of art houses, and they're kind of more than that, because you can go in and it's all about the conversations you have in and around those performance spaces as well. And that's kind of, I think, something that we've found really exciting working in those sorts of spaces.
Sort of get interested by the public spaces, you know, the cafes, just the places where people pass through, the transitional spaces where you can sort of watch others and just how everyday life happens in. And it's in those spaces that, you know, that's sort of we create pieces about audiences, or allow audiences to have their mark on what we create. And so I think we always use those sort of spaces in these bigger buildings. So we have definitely been sort of going back to, would like to meet in this a little bit, in like how you can work such a massive space, you know, and get people to sort of travel around it. That's the conversation has been coming up, yeah.
And like the Barbican, the National is such a fantastic venue for that, this sort of work, because of the number of terraces they have, and the architecture of the building is so interesting for the way that people move around it. And there's so many vantage points all around the building that you can see lots of different spaces, so many different levels inside and out. So it's such an exciting building for us to explore and start to play with.
So that's where you start then. You start with the space. Or how would you go about thinking about the ideas and the themes that you've been presented with such an open brief?
I was going to say, what's really interesting about, I think, our work is a lot of people, when they think of ways to refer to us, they say, oh, they're a technology company, or they're a headphone company, or headphone-based theatre company, Nonzo One, are exploring, etc. And I think that for us, it's not, the technology isn't the thing that comes first in our work. We don't sit down and think, okay, we're going to create a headphone piece. For us, it's about the idea, a question that we want to explore, and then the technology comes second.
So if we need it, yeah.
If we even need it at all. So for Would Like to Meet, the piece was about absence and what it means to miss someone, and we came up with this question: can you miss someone you've never met? And we thought, well, the best way for our audience and participants to engage with that question is to let them listen to a voice heard through a pair of headphones, which takes them on a journey around the spaces. So it was never about creating a piece of headphone theatre, it was about exploring this idea and thinking of the most creative way to engage our participants.
And so you still hold to that the theme comes first, the space comes first, and then the technology comes later.
I think it, and as well, it depends kind of on the different types of kind of commission or approaches to work as well. So for example, with the National Theatre and the Bush Show, it came with a very specific space in mind, even if it wasn't like this particular room, it's these kinds of areas. So we knew where we were kind of, and we'd take our themes from that space. So the first thing we do as a group is we go and wander the building and get an idea of the history of the building as well, and the architecture, and just what it feels to be like in that building. And then a lot of the themes come out of those people and what it is to be a person in that building, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas opposed to The Time Out, which was the first kind of piece we've made that wasn't linked to a particular building, that's an installation piece we can take into different venues. And that came more from us just saying, what is it that we really want to explore just about people in general? Mm. So I think sometimes it comes from spaces and sometimes it comes from our audience or participants, but there's usually that before any kind of thoughts about format or technology or
aesthetic,
performers, or aesthetic that kind of comes after that.
So let's talk about The Time Out. Obviously you're starting there with the experience for the audience, this question about how we relate to each other. Can you explain a little bit more about how that theme has been kind of pulled out and drawn out in the performance or in the piece? I don't know if I can refer to it as a performance.
Completely. So with the timeout, it's kind of the question we wanted to ask, which kind of fed from Would Like to Meet, is how can people form teams? How does a group of people form a team? And what was important with that is that it wasn't will you form a team? It was just how do you do that? Can you do that? Mm-hmm. And we kind of wanted to allow a certain sense of failure within that. So, and the reason why we got to that was because with Would Like to Meet, we'd use pre-recorded sound. So the audience members or the participants who took part, they would begin and they had like a set audio track just for that one person. Mm-hmm. And they would follow a journey that was kind of narrated to them as they went along,
mm-hmm.
that unfolded. And something that we then wanted to play with coming out of that was live recording. And what is it to have like a really interactive relationship between the performer, as it were, or voice, the performer and the participant,
right.
as well as the participants themselves.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we went with the timeout. That's what we wanted to explore, that kind of triangle of relationships that can be formed through a performance.
I also thought it was really interesting and Would Like to Meet how our participants at the end, even though they'd, you know, just gone around on an individual journey, how at the end they all sort of came together and did form this group. And we had some beautiful moments when audience members that didn't even know each other went off for a drink at the end. And so that sort of interested us, like, how can you form groups and teams and how do they come together with strangers? And so that's sort of how we kind of came across, yeah, and kind of how we pushed that forward.
Okay. And I think that one of the really interesting ideas that you're presenting in the timeout is that sense of placing the audience center stage, so they become the performer. And I was wondering if you thought that was something that we are maybe more drawn to in an age of kind of Facebook and Twitter, YouTube. I mean, I'm thinking specifically of the YouTube line Broadcast Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That sense of putting each audience member centre stage, is that something that you think might become more and more popular, or is that something that you're tapping into?
I think it's an interesting one. I sort of, we've discussed this before. I think there is an element of it in that, you know, video games and things like that, where people like to have control over what they're creating and what's happening in a certain space and have complete control over their experience. But then also, you know, I don't think it's necessarily taking away from theatre. I think people still want to go and sit and watch something happening in front of them. I think it's just a different type of experience, and one that we sort of came across and enjoyed and wanted to, you know, I suppose play with a bit more and how people can interact. But I don't think I necessarily.
Yeah, I think there are parallels between the two. I don't think it ever came from that idea of people. For people being au fait with technology and social media and wanting to kind of broadcast themselves on Facebook. Mm. For us, the intimate relationship with the audience member and the participant having a kind of individual experience came from us wanting our participants to take as much away from the performance as they can, and us have such a direct relationship with our audience members. So that is why that there are kind of, we put a lot of emphasis on giving audience members choice, allowing participants to have a voice in the performance and interact with each other and have a group experience as well as an intimate experience. It didn't come from thinking about, you know, how used to people are of having playing computer games or wanting to be the author. It came from being a participant and having an individual experience.
I also think the type of the Broadcast Yourself, that's not how we sort of came about it either. We've always in interactive theatre, again, we sort of, I personally hate it when, you know, you're like, right, you stand up and do something in front of the class and suddenly you've got to think on your feet and you've got to be entertaining and you've got to like fulfill the, you know, the brief of being, you know, the comic or whatever.
Yeah.
But and we've always created a very safe environment for people to be themselves within the performances. That was really important to us. Again, it comes back to how would we want to be treated in this. So whether we'd like to meet, they barely ever performed to somebody else. There was always for them, there were actors in it, but you create that safe place for them to engage with somebody else. And again, in the timeout, there's a moment where we actually ask them to put blacked out goggles on. And again, it's so they feel that sort of a bit more free to speak their own minds and be able to speak. But we also allow for moments where they don't have to. You know, you're asked a question, but you don't have to answer. And we will be able to deal and cope with that situation because it's up to us to maintain the freedom, that, you know, the ability for the audience to feel safe in our pieces. So I think the broadcast stuff, it's not a play. We don't set it up for them to be performers. We set up for them to be themselves and actually experience something and experience for themselves within our work.
Yeah. I think at the very basic level, we wanted to reach all of our audience members individually. Mm. And the best way that we could come up with that was to allow them to have a real say and a real role in that.
Yes. Mm.
And a truly personal experience as well.
Fantastic. Well, Non-01, it sounds like you've created a style of theatre which is very, very well customised to audience demands and to what audiences are really looking for in enjoying theatre and being entertained by theatre. If you were to meet up with Theatre Voice again in another 2 years, you know the question that's coming.
Yeah.
Can you imagine at all how your work might have evolved or where you could see the company then?
Wow. Well, hopefully it will be a company that can not all have to have full-time jobs in terms of developing ourselves. We still all do that and have to do it on the side. So all our projects this year are, whilst we still have full-time jobs. But I don't know how we're going to work creatively. It sort of depends what commissions maybe come up and also what interests us at that moment.
Mm.
I don't know. It's really exciting.
Yeah, hopefully we won't just be rehearsing at the weekends and in the evenings.
Yeah.
And I hope that we will have a tour, a proper UK and international tour under our belt within 2 years. Aim high. Aim high.
World domination.
And maybe an office.
Maybe.
That would be cool.
Well, so the post doesn't have to go to my parents.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, fingers crossed.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Non-01.
Thank you.
Yay! Thank you.